The last few weeks we have been talking about peace and asking and answering the question, will there ever be peace in the Middle East? There probably is no more vivid picture of what humanity thinks of peace than what has taken place between the hackers in North Korea and Sony Pictures. Now, if you've been keeping up with this in the news, you know that Sony Pictures was preparing to release a movie called The Interview, a comedy in which journalists go to North Korea to interview the dictator in North Korea and are enlisted by the CIA to assassinate him. Well, the real North Korea has responded with that by originating an official hack of Sony Pictures, releasing scripts online, hacking into accounts, threatening lives, all of this in the last few weeks. But last Tuesday, it really came to a head when the hackers, who go under the name of Guardians of Peace, threatened anyone who went to the movie theaters if the movie was released in the United States. It had been planned to be released, and Sony Pictures finally responded and reacted by pulling that motion picture. It will not be released in the theaters, they say, in the United States. This group, Guardians of Peace, threatening violence against people who do something as simple as going to a motion picture. That tells you how human beings in our sinful condition think of peace. It's not just ironic, it's tragic that we view peace as something we gain by force. And those who are corrupt and those who are evil, such as this group, Guardians of Peace, would threaten lives to gain what they call peace. That calling themselves the Guardians of Peace is a sinful version of irony, if there ever was one. But it's a reminder, too, in probably the worst way, that human beings as sinners cannot produce peace. Sometimes we can keep the peace. Sometimes we can maintain the peace. But in truth, to actually produce peace, we need something more powerful than humanity. We need something greater than ourselves. We need God Himself to come into the world and bring peace with Him. So the answer to the question, will there ever be peace in the Middle East? The answer is, peace has already come to the Middle East, and His name is Jesus. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem in the heart of the Middle East, in the heart at that time of one of the greatest, most violent, corrupt empires in history, known as the Roman Empire, right there in the heart of it. God sent His Son, whose name is peace. And see, the Bible teaches that what matters first is that you and I have a personal relationship with Christ. He came first to bring peace into our lives. He will, in fact, usher in peace in the world one day. But peace has already come to the Middle East. The problem is people have not embraced Him. They've not accepted Him. And they go on warring as if we can produce peace without the Prince of Peace in our lives. The Bible says and teaches there will always be a need for standing armies, for law enforcement, for those who keep the peace, because we're sinners. The fact that we have law enforcement and military underscores the biblical truth that human beings will hurt each other, that human beings will cause conflict and chaos. And Jesus Himself said there will be wars and rumors of wars, and that will accelerate toward the end of time. We need those who keep the peace. But we must understand that peace, true peace, begins by accepting the Prince of Peace as our Savior, by letting Him change our hearts and change our lives. And that's what He came that first Christmas to do. Will there ever be peace in the Middle East? Peace has already come to the Middle East. And yes, someday there will be no more wars and no more conflict and no more violence when the Prince of Peace ushers in absolute and final peace in those days. I want you to look with me at a couple of passages of Scripture this morning that underscore that when Christ came, He brought peace into the world. And the Bible defines peace and our need for peace first as our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's the peace that matters most. You see, the Bible teaches that the biggest conflict that all human beings have is not wars on earth. It's not chaos in the streets. The biggest conflict, the biggest problem we have, the chaos and the conflict, is that our relationship with God is broken. The Bible says there is enmity, that is, there is war between us and God as long as we refuse Christ. As long as we refuse the Prince of Peace himself, we will always have conflict with God, because that's our greatest need. Our greatest need is to surrender our hearts to him who gives us peace first, and let him work through us to make peace in relationships around us. We're going to pick up in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8, and then in a few minutes we'll look at Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at two of the best known scriptures in the Bible that prophesy and then declare the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, what we celebrate at Christmas. But I want to put this in context, because it's important we understand that for God, we underline that he came to bring peace to us first and then to the world. Isaiah chapter 8, we're going to read verse 22 to give us context. Verse 22 says, and the prophet Isaiah is prophesying, he's foretelling events in the future as he is even talking about his own time. And he says, they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and the gloom of affliction, and they will be driven into thick darkness. He is speaking of war times in the Middle East in his day, but he is foretelling, prophesying war times in the future. It's not hard. We could take this verse right now and apply it to world events today, where there is darkness all over the world. There is war and there is conflict, especially in the Middle East. There's destruction, there's darkness, there is affliction, there is gloom all over the world. But then we jump to chapter 9. Starting at verse 2, we read a passage that's one of our favorites at Christmas. In the context of all that conflict, in the context of Isaiah prophesying days ahead that there would be conflict and darkness and chaos on the world, through the prophet Isaiah, God says this, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, but, or nevertheless, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing spoils. For you have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For trampling boot of battle and bloodied garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. The dominion will be vast and its prosperity will never end. He will reign on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and sustain it with justice and righteousness from now on and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Now hold your place there and jump forward to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, where the angels declare the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. The angels declare the coming of Christ at Bethlehem. And we're all familiar with this. The Bible says, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, was born for you in the city of David. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in cloth and lying in a feeding trough." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to people he favors." And peace on earth to people he favors. And peace on earth, as the King James would say, and goodwill toward all men. Why? Because Christ has come. Because Christ has come. Peace has already been born in the Middle East, but people have not embraced him. People have not accepted him. We read in Isaiah that he is Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God. He is Prince of Peace. the flavor of Isaiah's language is that Jesus Christ is so great, there's almost no name that can define his character and his power and his greatness, but we land on this. He is Prince of Peace. He's Prince of Peace. He's Almighty God, and he came first to bring peace to the world. But peace first comes by embracing Christ, by accepting Christ. This morning, for a moment, I want us to consider what God tells us in these two passages about the coming of Jesus Christ, that access to real peace is by accepting Jesus Christ. He came first to change us, first to bring peace into our lives, but there is that promise of peace to the world. And we see in these passages that as peace comes to human beings, we have peace in our lives first as we accept Him as our Savior, as our Prince of Peace. Then God uses us to change the world. One day He will usher in true peace worldwide. But in the meantime, He wants to bring peace to you and to me. Look at a few truths with me about God's peace. First of all, peace is God's promise. Peace is God's promise. Chapter 9 and verse 2 in the Hebrew language opens with a contrast to chapter 8. Even though chapter 8 says there will be darkness on the land, there is chaos, there's all kinds of problems, there's war, there's affliction. Chapter 9 verse 2 says, but. Or some translations say, nevertheless, even though that's happening, God has sent into the world a great light. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And He is the light in the darkness. He is the one that brings us peace. And God promised that peace would come. And in Bethlehem at Christmas, He came. And He can come to all of us when we accept Him. There's probably no image more serene or peaceful in the world than Bethlehem. Wouldn't you think so? Here's this young couple, Joseph and Mary. Mary is pregnant. They arrive in Bethlehem. There's no room for them in the inn. And they finally are given a stable, which in their day would have been a cave carved out of a rock. They go in there with the animals. And in the quiet of the night, the crying of the baby is heard throughout the little town of Bethlehem. The silence is broken by the baby being born, God's Prince of Peace. After that, everything got a little more chaotic, didn't it? And we just read one picture, and that's of the angels showing up to the shepherds. And for them at that moment, everything was peaceful, everything was quiet. They're just watching the sheep out in the darkness at night. And suddenly the angels of God break the silence. They break into the scene. They're praising God and they're singing and they're making public declarations. The Prince of Peace has been born in Bethlehem. Up to that moment, the greatest fear and concern of the shepherds that night was the Roman Empire was getting the sheep to market, was making sure that they didn't lose any of those sheep. It was just living through another day in the poverty of Palestine. And in an instant, God changed everything. In an instant, God ushered in peace. He declared it from the heavens. He glorified God in song. And the world had suddenly changed. God's promise had been fulfilled in Christ. A child had been born, and that child would change the world. But first, He changes you and me. See, God's promise to you and me, God's promise to you and me first, is if we will receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior, if we will surrender our lives, all of its chaos, all of its sin, all of its affliction, if we will surrender our lives to Christ, we will experience the peace of God, as the Apostle Paul calls it, beyond all understanding. Even in the midst of your conflict and your chaos and your broken relationships and your struggles through life and your financial problems, even in the midst of all of that, you can have peace. And God promises that because His Son will bring it to you. His Son, Jesus Christ, is the Prince of Peace. If you're turning your back on Him this morning, if you're trying to work through all your problems, if you're trying to produce peace on your own, it will not happen. You need to give your life, surrender your problems, give everything to Christ, and understand He is the King, the Prince of Peace. He will save you, He will change you, and He will let you experience God's peace in your life. The first thing we see is that God's peace is a promise. The second thing is that God's peace is a gift. God's peace is a gift. It's not something you and I can fabricate or create or make happen in our lives. Just like the grace of God is a gift to us that saves us, the peace of God is the person of Christ. God's gift to us in Christ is His peace. Do you notice Isaiah says, a son will be born to us, and then he says he will be given to us. A son will be given to us. That qualifies the child being born to us. That him being born to us and for us means he is given to us. That God has given us his greatest gift. That greatest person, that greatest surprise of all is God's son in the world that God gave to us. You cannot produce peace in your life, especially in your own heart. You can't make it happen. But Jesus Christ can bring that to you because He is God's gift to you. And your only obligation is to accept God's free gift of eternal life and salvation in Christ. But you can't turn your back on Him. You can't turn away from Him. You've got to accept Him and embrace Him for that to happen. So peace is God's promise, which He fulfills in Christ. Peace is God's gift, which He gives to us in Christ. So then last, very simply, peace is God's Son. Peace is God's Son. A child will be born to us, a son given to us. The government will be on His shoulders. He'll be named a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. We could add names upon names upon names. How do you define God Himself in human flesh, this baby in the manger, as God's gift to us? Peace is God's Son. If you have turmoil and conflict in your life, if your relationships are broken, if you can't figure out your finances, if all you see when you look at your life and headed in 2015 is a lack of peace, my question to you is, have you given your life to Christ? Have you given your problems to Christ? Have you given your chaos to Christ? Have you embraced and accepted the Prince of Peace, Almighty God, in your life? Because that's where peace is. Peace is first and foremost not the absence of conflict. It's the presence of Jesus Christ in your life. So answer that question this morning for yourself. Have you given your life to Christ? Have you embraced Him as your Savior? You know, the Bible says, as we read in Isaiah, that that is a permanent peace. It lasts forever. The only peace that is eternal and absolute and permanent is the peace that we have in Jesus Christ. And one day, someday, Jesus Christ will return, the Bible says. And as Isaiah said, all of the governments will fall under His command. And He will bring physical peace to the world. Not before there is not a war, but He'll bring physical peace to the world as well. But the good news is right now He'll bring personal peace to your life. If you'll just trust Him as your Savior. Maybe you say, well, Pastor Bob, I've trusted Him as my Savior. My question is then, have you trusted Him with all of your problems and your chaos? Are you still trying to handle that all on your own? Would you trust Him with whatever has happened in 2014 and what's going to happen in 2015? Would you trust Him with that? You say, Christ, I'm sorry for trying to handle all my problems on my own. I just keep creating more chaos and problems in my life, and when everything is going well, I feel so stressed out. I have no calm and no peace in my life. Would you tell Him you're sorry for that and give it all to Him? Would you hand off to the Prince of Peace all the chaos and issues of your life? Would you meet Him and give it all to Him? 100 years ago, World War I had just begun. In the winter of 1914, forces were rallying in France as the Germans had moved into France. And right about by the time Christmas came in 1914, there were 100,000 both German and Allied troops lined up in trenches along the ocean fronts and along the farmlands, all through France, where the Germans had been stopped by the Allied forces, the British mostly. They had dug trenches famously. And between those trenches, as they faced one another, there was a stretch of land that came to be known as No Man's Land. And there were skirmishes across No Man's Land, and it was well known that if any soldier on either side ventured out to no man's land, they'd be killed as soon as they tried to cross into the enemy territory. So on Christmas Eve, there was a relative calm because no soldiers had ventured out into no man's land. Everyone had stopped there as they faced each other through the trenches and looked across no man's land. They could even hear one another talking. They were so close, but there were no skirmishes, no battles. It was a stalemate. They had stopped. Christmas Eve arrived. In the dark of the night of Christmas Eve, the British and Scottish soldiers on the other side and the French on their side in their trenches heard singing. They heard German voices singing Christmas carols. Maybe they ventured to pop their head up to look out, but they could certainly sit and listen as the Germans in their trench on the other side of no man's land were singing Christmas carols on Christmas Eve. So the British responded. They started singing Christmas carols. The Scottish started singing, the French were singing Christmas carols pretty much. Pretty soon it was a chorus on both sides. One side would sing Christmas carols and the other side would sing another carol. One side and then another side. And then it happened. Someone ventured out. Then someone else ventured out. They started talking to one another from trench to trench and across no man's land. And then they decided they would just meet in the middle. And here it was, Christmas Eve turning into Christmas morning, when warring enemy soldiers on both sides, hundreds of men, decided to call a truce for Christmas. And they met in no man's land, and they spent that night and Christmas day exchanging gifts and talking to one another. One soldier reported back to his family later that he wanted a souvenir, so he went up to a German soldier and he pulled out a knife and he cut two buttons off the soldier's uniform. The soldier laughed and asked him if he could have two buttons off his uniform, and he said yes, so he cut two off and they exchanged buttons as souvenirs and gifts on Christmas Day. They talked, they laughed, exchanged stories, exchanged gifts. Then someone said, let's play football or soccer. And they struck up a soccer match in no man's land on Christmas Day, 1914. People who just 24 hours before were trying to kill each other were playing soccer together. But then Christmas Day ended. And the truce was over. They went back to the trenches. They went back to their sides. And they received a message that week. Both sides, all armies, each ally, soldier, and the Germans from their command came down the message, don't do that again. No truces with the enemy. Or, as they said, no fraternization with the enemy. Not Christmas. Not any other time. You and I can do our best to produce peace. We can do our best to be peacemakers in this world, but then we go right back to fighting. Because you and I can't change our hearts. And we can change our minds for a while, but we can't change our hearts, and we can't change our lives. We can't change who we are. And that's what has to happen for real peace to come into our lives. For real peace to come into our lives, we need the peacemaker, the Prince of Peace. And we've got to give to him our lives, surrender to him our lives and all that goes with it, all of the mess, all of the junk, all of the internal battles and chaos, all the problems. We've got to say, Lord, I cannot produce peace in my life. I need you to do that and give him your life. If you haven't done that, I want to invite you to do that today.